So this morning we're going to separate actions. We're going to separate works from faith. Praise the Lord. Tonight, so don't be dismayed, tonight I'm going to teach and show you how that we can live this life without sin marring our life and sin causing our life not to be a witness to God. So this morning I'm going to not teach about that, but I'm going to separate actions and works from faith this morning. Let's go to John 20. Let's get a verse there, and we'll start out right there, and then we'll launch on out into some more things. Praise God. We talked about faith is the servant of the believer. Faith is the servant of the believer. Now, if we come to the place we don't have faith, it's not God's fault. And if we don't have a supernatural flow or a divine flow in the earth helping us, then it's not God's fault. You know, over in Romans chapter 12, he says, unto every man he's given the measure of faith. So if we have an excuse and say, I don't have enough faith, then that's not true, because God has given us faith. Over in John 20, verse 24, you remember Jesus appeared unto his disciples, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came and appeared to them. And the other disciples therefore said unto him, we've seen the Lord. But then Thomas said, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, he says, what? I will not believe. Now remember, in that phrase, we found out that it didn't say that he couldn't believe. It says he wouldn't believe. So everything was in place for him to be able to believe. Why? Because Jesus said before he left, I'm going to be raised from the dead. And then the disciples told him, says, we have seen the Lord and he's raised from the dead. And so he went on to say, unless I see him with my eyes, feel him with my hands, touch him with my body, I will not believe. Now remember, 4 or 5 times already been said during the middle of the week. Let's say it one more time this morning. This scripture didn't say that he couldn't believe. It said he wouldn't believe. There's a big difference. He chose not to believe. Now, in the earth today, we have a lot of people and even whole denominations that teach that God does everything, and everything is done, God does it. I've had hundreds of people say, well, what about Aunt so-and-so? She was the finest Christian that walked on the earth, and she passed and died before her time. And they like look at me and they're asking, what's God doing here? Well, guess what? God's already done all he's going to do. Now, remember, don't get offended at me. Go home and study. I'll give you a prime example. We were in a meeting in a ministry in another city one time, and they told me ahead of time. They said, so-and-so's coming, and he's got sickness in his body. Well, I knew him. I knew who he was. One of the finest men on the planet. If you loaned him a dollar, he'd pay you back two. If your wife was around him, he'd be honorable unto her. He wouldn't steal your money. He wouldn't bother anything in your life. And he was over a whole major denomination of believers. So he come to a meeting that we had because he heard that we laid hands on the sick. And when he got there, we all knew that he was one of the finest men on the planet. But when I laid hands on him and began to speak life over him concerning healing and health, I knew, he knew, and everybody else knew, watch this, he didn't have a dab of faith for healing. Now, how do you know, Pastor Brian? Because he said, well, I hope the Lord will do something, and I hope something will change. And there was no power transfer. Now, what do you mean no power transfer? There was no anointing in that. Everybody say it out loud. He was a fine feller, but he had no faith. So now, is God a respecter of persons? Will God heal Randy and then not heal this man that was over a whole Christian denomination? Does God choose not to heal him, but he'll choose to heal somebody else? No, no, no. See, the law that begins from Genesis all the way to Revelation, God deals with mankind by one thing, and that is by faith. So see, it's not about how good we are or how bad we've been. It's faith in God. How many of you know you can quit drinking and still go to hell? Somebody talk to me while I'm preaching. How many of you know that you could smoke 15 packs of Camel, it wouldn't keep you out of heaven? Is that right? Now, you might go there quicker than you would if you didn't smoke. How many of you know that these things that man looks at, God doesn't look at that? We have a list of things that we tell people they can or can't do. If they do it, they're going to hell. If they don't, they're going to go to heaven. But how many of you know that's so far from the truth? The scripture says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Amen. I look at everyone in here. I know everyone in here didn't straighten up and then God saved you. No, God saved you just like your ugly self was. So what was it? I'll use that phrase and then we'll move on. What was it that got this ugly self saved? Did I straighten up? Did I act right? Did I do this or do that? No, my faith and my trust was in what God did through Jesus Christ. So this morning we're going to separate actions. We're going to separate works from faith. Praise the Lord. Tonight, so don't be dismayed, tonight I'm going to teach and show you how that we can live this life without sin marring our life and sin causing our life not to be a witness to God. So this morning I'm going to not teach about that, but I'm going to separate actions and works from faith this morning. Now tonight I'm going to show you that you and I, as being born again, we need to be a witness in this world. We're called unto good works, but we don't work to get favor with God. We now work. Everything good is done by grace. We work now because we have faith. Do you see that? John 20, here's Thomas, and he declares, he said, "Lest I see it, and if I don't feel it, I will not believe." A lot of times we'll do that. We'll say, well, now, what's taking God so long? You know, why is this not happening? I had another lady we were ministering to a few years ago, and she was, her body was maimed, and I was speaking the word of faith to her, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and telling her about the anointing, and I was getting ready to minister to her, and so when I laid hands on her, again, there was nothing there. You mean nothing. It wasn't by sight, because God's always moving. Soon as I prayed for her and called her the healed of the Lord, she said, well, I know that, but why am I not healed? What was she saying? What did she say, Pastor Brian? She was saying, I know those scriptures. I've read them. But look, my body is still maimed. She was saying the same thing that Thomas said. She said, unless I see my arm straighten out, I will not believe that I'm healed. Do you see that? Amen. The same way as that minister, he's a good man. He paid his taxes. He did everything right. He was in order. And then when it come time to receiving healing, it's not about did I do good things or not? Have I tithed? Have I given? Have I prayed? You know, it's do I have faith? Do I have faith in that? And how do you get faith? Well, my grandmother had faith. No, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Praise the Lord. So my faith didn't come from grandma. My faith comes from hearing and hearing the word of God. Well, Romans 12:3 is what says that unto each has been dealt a measure of faith, and it's unto every man. Ephesians 2:8 says we're saved by grace. That's the power and the ability of God. And how does grace come to us? It comes to us through faith. So faith is what brings access to the grace of God in our lives. Have you ever heard the scripture, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me? What is that? That's the spirit of grace. That's God's ability in our life. Hebrews 12 says, let's consider the author and the finisher of our faith. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the beginning of our faith. He is the end of our faith. He is the cause of our faith. Also, he took faith, Jesus, the Son of God, born of a woman, born under the law, He came into the earth, and with the spirit of faith, Jesus conquered all of life's obstacles as a man. Jesus took the spirit of faith, showed its perfection, and then handed it unto mankind and says, here is your victory. 1 John 5:4 said, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So our success in life is all about knowing and operating with the spirit of faith. Whatever area you're looking at, finances, mental realm, emotions, your soul realm, your physical body, when it comes to finances, when it comes to your family, when it comes to church, the means of success that we have in this life, God has given us the spirit of faith. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus commanded. Everybody say commanded. Mark 11:22, Jesus commanded, and he said, have the faith of God. Have the God kind of faith. Have the God kind of faith. If you have the God kind of faith, Jesus said, you can say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea. And if you don't doubt what you say in your heart and you don't doubt what comes out of your mouth, he said, you'll have whatsoever you say. Have you ever had a dozen people look at you and say, well, that can't happen. Why did they say that? Exactly. They never entered into that realm that's called faith. They didn't understand it. It's a foreign term. Amen. This morning in this room, if I came in speaking Chinese, I dare say there might be one or two that could say, oh, yeah, I understand what you're saying. But the rest, we would be going, that sounds like a foreign language to me. Is that right? Yeah. The language of faith is different from the language of this world. Can you say amen? The language of this world is like Thomas. If I don't see it, I won't believe it. But the language of God is, God had a mess after creation. God created the heavens and the earth. The next verse is said, and the earth was without form and void. So after God created the earth, it turned into a mess. So how did he fix it? He said, what did he say? Light be. Why did he say light be? Because that's where he started to recreate the earth. But did he say light be and then, excuse me, go back to his throne and go, oh, no, I hope that light works. Now, last time it worked, I don't know if it'll work this time or not. Somebody help me preach. God believed within himself who he was, and he wasn't separated from what he said because he said what he believed or who he was. And so he recreated the heavens and the earth by the spirit of faith. And so that same spirit that he put on Jesus, now Jesus has handed that to mankind that we can operate in the God kind of faith. Whew, I don't know about you, but I'm getting happy over that. Over in James chapter 1. Again, we're just reviewing a little bit. James chapter 1. He says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse tests, trials, and temptations. Have you ever had any tests and trials and temptations? Never enter in there without joy. Don't go in a test without joy. Don't go in a trial without joy. He says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse or different tests, trials, and tribulations, knowing this, that the trial of your faith worketh patience. Therefore, let patience have her perfect work or complete work, and then you will what? You'll be entire, you'll be complete, and in the end, you will lack no thing. Why? Because faith, Barclay translation says, faith, having going into the test, can go to or through the place of, excuse me, exploding and pass the test. Amen. Faith can go beyond the place of blowing up and not blow up. You can't. Your mental realm can't. Your soulish realm can't. There's enough pressure that Satan can put on you in this earth that, excuse me, you're going to get bent out of shape. You're going to explode. You're not going to be able to handle it. But James said that good pastor down there, the great pastor of Jerusalem, he said, count it all joy when you go through these tests and trials and tribulations. Just make sure your faith is out there working. Because faith can go beyond the breaking point and not break. Hallelujah. Woo, amen. So when faith is out there working as your servant, glory to God, then you can be at home happy with the kids and the wife. You can be full of joy. Amen. But see, we've been trained to be world champion warriors. Oh, I'm just so worried. What does that mean? I don't have any faith out there working. I've chose just to worry instead of have faith. Well, Pastor Ryan, now that sounds good, but that I'm just not totally persuaded yet. That's all right. Let's go over to Luke chapter 17. Luke 17. And let's grab that verse right there. Luke chapter 17. And we'll look at verse 5. Luke 17, 5. We're going to hit a high spot here and move on. Now remember, Jesus had just finished speaking and talking to the disciples and telling them that you're going to have to forgive 7 times 70 in a day. Now that was hard for them to swallow. How many of you know it's kind of hard for us to swallow sometimes if we don't have a revelation of what's taking place? Jesus said all this forgiveness has got to take place, and his disciples looked at him and says, now you're going to have to increase our faith. That's what verse 5 says. I'll read it so you make sure it's in the Bible. It said, the apostle said unto the Lord, now you're going to have to increase our faith. And the Lord says, here's the way it works. Here's the law of faith. Here's the supernatural endowment of faith. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this sycamine tree, be plucked up by the root and be thou planted into the sea, and it should obey you. What's the subject here? Faith. The disciples said, you're going to have to increase my faith. And Jesus said, here's the way it works. Here's the law of faith. He said, if you use faith like a grain of mustard seed, and the way to get that seed to produce is you plant it. So the way to plant it, the kingdom of God, Mark chapter 4, the kingdom of God is operated like this. As a man goes forth and sows a seed, Jesus said in Mark 11, say, and that seed will be sown. He said, if you'll take faith like a grain of mustard seed and sow it, the kingdom said, Mark 4, will grow up unto a big tree. Amen. He said, if you'll say unto this sycamine tree, be plucked up by the root and go to yonder place, it's, what is the it? The subject is faith. Faith will obey you. Your faith will obey you when you speak out of your heart and say, then that faith is sown like a grain of mustard seed. And it'll go out there and go to work for you. Somebody said, whoa, now wait a minute. I thought the sycamine tree would obey you. It will eventually. But I know a lot of people, their sycamine tree's not obeying them. Why? Because there's no faith at work to begin with. Let's read on a little farther. He describes this, and it should obey you. The subject is faith. But which of you having a servant, there's that servant, he's describing faith. Which of you having a servant plowing or feeding cattle will say unto him by and by when he has come in from the field, hey, you go over here and sit down and eat, and will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith that I may eat, and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat. So Jesus is saying here that your faith is the servant. He said you won't have a servant come in out of the field and have him to sit down, his job not finished. Is that right? Now see, the wonderful news about this is I when we talk about this a lot, there's always that place. Matter of fact, if I wish I had a camera that I could zoom over the congregation right now, because some are going like, dear Lord. Some are like, I've never heard that before. And some are saying, well, I thought it's sycamine tree. And some are saying this, some are saying that. But see, I remember back in 1983, in a Kenneth Copeland meeting, as he was talking about faith being the servant of the believer, that fell down in my heart. And my servant, which is faith, he's always out there working if I use the kingdom principles. Believing in your heart, saying with your mouth, then I can go home and rest. I can go home and rest. Why? Because the works of that is complete and finished in eternity past in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So Jesus said, you won't take your servant, which is your faith, and call him in from the field and tell him, sit down and rest. No, he said, you'll tell him, get right back in the field. He said, you can eat later, but take care of me right now. You're my servant. Amen. So faith is the servant of the believer. Now listen, if mountains are not obeying you, if sycamine trees are not obeying you, if this world is not being submissive unto you, then make sure that your servant is out there working. Now your servant can work in two ways. One way, your servant can work like this. Well, nothing ever good happens to me. Everybody gets a raise except me. And, you know, bad as the times are, the economy's bad, I'll be the first one laid off. If anybody gets a flu, it'll be me. And I know nobody likes me. Now, what is that? My servant's working, but who is my servant? He's doubt and fear and unbelief. I just don't know what I'm going to do. Times are getting rough. Times are hard. Times are bad. And if this happens, we won't have a chance. What is that? That is my faith. And what is my faith? I have faith in doing without. I have faith in hard times. I have faith in nothing turning out. I have faith in nothing working right. But Jesus said, now remember, we can put this in application. It works, it fits together like the most beautiful puzzle. Jesus said, when you fall in those places, he said, don't forget. Send your faith out. It's easy to understand. It's easy to see. You get in a hard time, it doesn't mean God's mad at you. It means the devil's after you. It means this world system is trying to take you out. But Jesus said, be of good cheer. I have already overcome this world. Amen. He said, so take this supernatural endowment of faith and put it to work. And let faith work for you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Isn't that good today? Praise God forevermore. Now, how many of you have been taught and raised up? Mama said, if you're good, I'll give you a Snicker bar. If you're good, I'll carry you to Burger King. Amen. Or over to Hardee's. I'll buy you an ice cream. I'll get that favorite ball you got. I'll get you that bicycle. Now it's Game Boy or Game Girl, whatever it is. You know, time kids come out of the womb now, they're operating, texting and all this stuff, you know. So times have changed everything. But we are raised up in the mentality, if you're a good boy, you get something. If you're a bad boy, you don't get something. Is that right? Well, that's true. There are rewards in all things. But a lot of times we bring that over into the realm of God. Now, how many of you have ever made a mistake in this room? Has anybody ever made a mistake? Boy, look at the hands going up. Well, I thought y'all were holier than thou. What's wrong with y'all folks this morning? No, we're all in the same boats. As revelation of the Spirit of God says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have. But the wonderful news is this. Since Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, what did he die for? Well, he didn't die for his sins because he was spotless. He was sinless. There was either no guile found in his mouth. Why did Jesus die? He died for you. Amen. He died for your sin. Glory to God. So if Jesus died for your sin, what happened to your sin? Boy, it's getting quiet right there. What happened to your sin? It's gone. If you and I still have the mental picture and the heart picture that God don't like me because of sin, then we're saying unto him that he didn't do a very good job through Jesus Christ. If we wake up on Tuesday morning after making a mistake on Monday, then we say, oh, dear Lord God, your sacrifice of Jesus didn't take care of Monday sins, didn't take care of Monday mistakes. God's idea and God's mindset of us has not changed from eternity past. He doesn't get up one morning and say, well, I don't like you today because I saw what you did yesterday. No, God gets up every morning and He's still God. He still looks over there in front of Him in His throne of glory, and He sees that resident, that present tense of the blood of Jesus Christ that's in the heavenly realm, and He says, it's been shed for you and I'm not taking it back. It's not going to lose its power. It's not going to lose its source. That blood is on fire for you and I. So God is not changed, and we don't need to change. But we'll make a mistake on Monday, right out of Sunday. Oh, we'll have the best service on Sunday, and we'll get to thinking, my Lord Jesus is coming next week. I know He is. It's getting so good around here. Monday, you'll slip up and make a mistake, and the next thought you'll have is God don't like you anymore. Something bad will happen. You say, now that's God punishing me for my mistake. Listen, honey, that's saying that Jesus' punishment wasn't good enough. If it's up to you to be punished, you're out of hope. You're out of luck. Amen. You're a man most miserable in the earth, and you need to get saved. Amen. Now, Pastor Brian, that sounds good. That sounds good. But now, how do I know that's true? Well, let's go over to the Scriptures then. 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians. Have you ever heard that scripture? Y'all believe it? Or is it just in there for filler? Did Father God want a big old thick book? And He says, to make it thick, I got to stick this in there, but it's really not true. No, God put it in there because it is so true. 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if any man, how many men? What kind of man? Any man. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. And behold, all things are what? They become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us. Hath is past tense. Reconciled us to Himself. By whom? By Jesus Christ. Not by what you did or didn't do. And hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19 describes it. To wit, one translation says, now this is how it works. That God was in Christ Jesus, reconciling the world unto Himself. Now there's a comma there. Let's pay close attention. Not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So God, through Jesus Christ, when He looks at you, He does not look at you as if you're a sinner. He doesn't hold your past mistakes against you. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh yes, you are so worthy. I was so worthy of death. I was so worthy of hell. I was so worthy to be separated from Father God. But now through the blood of Jesus Christ, God doesn't have a problem with sin anymore. The penalty has been paid. He is just, and He's the justifier of all those who believe. Being just, He said, yes, there is a penalty got to be paid for sin. Death. But I'm going to put it on my Son for you, because you couldn't die and redeem yourself from sin or death. If you'll believe in what I do in Jesus Christ, you'll be raised up in the likeness of His resurrection. You'll be raised up in eternal life. If you believe. If you believe, believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. This course that we began, we sang at the beginning, the opening, the call to worship this morning, with a simple heart of believing. A simple heart of believing. That means a 4-year-old can do it. That means a 50-year-old can do it. That means a 90-year-old can do it. Whoever will submit their heart to God in belief can receive eternal life. Can I get a witness in the house? God gave the spirit of faith so all mankind could be equally blessed and supply brought to them. So He says here that God was not imputing their trespasses unto them. So God doesn't see your sin right now. He doesn't judge you as what you did yesterday or not. He judges you in what you believe in. What do you believe in? I believe in Jesus Christ. Now let me tap in tonight for just 20 seconds. We cannot live a good, clean Christian life without faith in the blood of Jesus. Without grace, we cannot do good things. So therefore, tonight we're going to talk about that good works only come through grace that's tapped into by faith. You can sit there and say it all day long. I got to live a good life, got to live a clean life, got to live a good life, and you'll mess up somewhere. But the grace and the ability of doing good in this life comes from faith. Galatians 6, 4, verse 4 and 5, it says, every man is accountable to personal responsibility. We're accountable to be responsible for ourselves. So this spirit of faith will cause you to be a responsible person and to be a blessing in this life. Kenneth Copeland made this statement one time. This will bless you. You might want to write this down. He said that he saw Brother Oral Roberts. He saw him in action. He saw Brother Roberts using his faith like a mechanic would use his tools. He saw Brother Roberts using faith as a mechanic would use his tools. In other words, those tools would help that mechanic to get the job done. Is that right? So he saw that on Brother Roberts, and he saw Oral Roberts using that to help people that were sick, to help people that were poor. So the same spirit that's on Jesus helped Brother Oral Roberts. Now, whether you have the mindset, whether you like him or not, it doesn't matter. You do have to confess and witness that God used him to bless people. Amen. Whether you like Oral Roberts or not, you have to say something was on him to help people because he couldn't do that himself. Now, what about old Job? I tell you what, aren't you glad that Job was put in the Bible to help us and you wasn't? I'm glad that God put Job in there to help us out in the realm of unbelief so that we don't have to be put in public eye. Is that right? Job is an awesome man for having that taking place. Let's look here, and again, you folks are well taught and well trained, but how many of you know the majority of people in the earth today think and they truly believe that God did all this stuff to Job? How many of you had a dozen people in your life tell you, so well, God did that? And it was a shock to you when you found out that God didn't. So now, let's look at Job. Let's go to Job chapter 1 and look at verse 1. So remember, we're removing works from faith. It said, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect, and he was upright, and he feared God, and he shunned evil. So the actions of Job and his mindset of all the community, they'd say, Job's a good old boy. Is that right? Y'all help me preach this morning. Is that right? The Bible says that Job was upright, he had feared God, and he eschewed evil. That means he shunned evil. So how many of you believe that Job did things right? Yes. Now let's look at verse 5. It says, and when it was so, when the days of their feastings were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and he offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all of his family. And Job says, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Job was upright. He feared God. He did everything. His actions were right. But then the scripture says here, that all he did continually was offer sacrifice because he was afraid that his sons and daughters and his family had judged God wrong in their hearts. Over in chapter 2, you remember the scripture says, Job said out of his own mouth, the very thing that I have feared has come upon me. Job was a good man. His actions were good. He did things all right. But when it come time for his family and his stuff, he had no faith. He had no faith. I know you're thinking real hard. That's why I'm going to give you a moment. Then you remember Satan came. I'm paraphrasing. You go home and read it yourself. Satan came, and God said unto Satan, well, now you have considered my servant Job. He said, yes, and if he didn't have all this stuff, he would curse you. He said, go ahead and put your hand against him, and you'll see, take all he has, and he'll curse you. He said, you put a hedge around him, though, and nothing's going to happen to him. And then God told Satan, he said, well, he is in your power right now. He's in your power now. How did Job get in Satan's power? Because he got in fear and unbelief. He said, he's already in your power. He said, the only thing is don't take his life. Why? Because he had faith for his very life and his livelihood. Guess what happened to Job, though? He lost a lot of stuff, but if you'll read over in Job chapter 42, the scripture says that Job repented. He told God, he said, I've said a bunch of stuff that I don't know anything about. He said, but I've heard about you with my ear, but now I have full revelation of you, and I repent unto you with sackcloth and ashes. Then God talked to his three friends. How many of you read it? He talked to them and spoke to them. He said, now listen. He says, now I'm not pleased with you, and there's wrath coming unless you change what you're saying about me like Job did. He said, Job is about to offer a sacrifice for you, and that sacrifice is going to be a burnt offering. And you know what a burnt offering is? A burnt offering is commitment and dedication and consecration. So Job offered that burnt offering for his friends, and he prayed for them, and God accepted his prayer. And when faith came back in on the scene, the scripture said God turned the captivity of Job. Hallelujah. He turned the captivity of Job. Now some will say, they said, no, God sovereignly chose Job out of the earth. God sovereignly chose to put a headache on Job just to teach him something, just to show him something. Well, how many of you know that's not true? God deals with mankind from Genesis to Revelation concerning faith. And as soon as Job got back in faith and offered up that burnt offering unto God, repented for what he said, then God was able to get back in his life and turn his captivity. Amen. Amen. Did God look at him and go, I don't like you anymore, Job. You're ugly and undone. No. When he did that burnt offering, he pointed to the cross of Calvary that represented Jesus becoming our consecration and our dedication. So we found out the attitude of God is, he don't want you just like you are. He said, I tell you what, since you got back in faith toward me, I'll double up everything you got. Hallelujah. Amen. What about Abram? What about Abram? When we read over in Hebrews chapter 11, we read that by faith Abram believed God, and by faith Sarah, she received strength to conceive in her womb. And if we would only read Hebrews 11, we would think that woman is a mighty saint of God. If we only read Hebrews 11, we would think Abram is the most powerful saint of God. He's greater than Paul the apostle. But guess what? We read Genesis. God said to Abram, he says, now I want you to get out of your own country, and I want to get you away from your kinfolk and go to a land I show you. And the first thing Abram did, he said, come on, Lot, let's go. Lot, his nephew, he said, come on, Lot, let's go. Did God say, I'm mad, you missed it, boy? No, he didn't. God stayed the same. Isn't that right? The scripture says, Abram said, now, Lord, what are you going to give me, seeing I'm going childless? He said, bring me some animals and sacrifice. And when he believed what God said, it was accounted unto him for righteousness. What about that promised seed he gave him? Here comes Sarah. She said, look, we don't have a child yet. God said, we're going to have a child. Let's make us a child. Go get Hagar. He got Hagar. They had a child. His name was Ishmael. Job was upright. He feared God. He shunned evil. Everything he did was right, but he didn't have faith. Abram, just about everything he did was wrong, but he had faith. You see that, don't you? Yeah, glory to God. I'm telling you, if it was up to me, I would be a man most miserable, because I've done some bad things, y'all. And it's not on the account of what good or bad I've done, it's what about faith I have in Jesus Christ. Do you see that? Do you see that? Get it in your heart. Get it in your mind. God says, Sarah, you're going to have a child. I'm going to visit you a year from now, and you'll have a child. His name's going to be Isaac. You know what she did? Somebody help me laugh in church. Amen. She didn't just go. The scripture says, the Hebrew text says she laughed out loud. Like, hey, y'all, that's laughing in God's face. Amen. God says, you're going to have a promised seed, and his name's going to be Isaac. Her actions were wrong, but her faith was right. She believed God, and she had a seed. Glory to God. There's some folks in this room this morning that I'm preaching with and to. You've made some mistakes, and your life has been limited because you thought God don't like you anymore. He wants to double you. He wants to increase you. But it's not going to be because of what you've done or what you haven't done. It's going to be in what you believe or don't believe. Hallelujah. See, God makes it to where we can prosper and be in health and be successful and be blessed and increase. But then we got preachers in the world today says, when you make the most minute mistake, you're doomed. It's over with. God don't like you anymore. That means the blood of Jesus Christ is no good. But I'm here to tell you the blood of Jesus Christ has not lost its power. Glory to God. Faith in that blood is still powerful enough to overcome your mistakes, your abnormalities, your mindset. He'll overcome you, amen, with his goodness and with his glory. Hallelujah. See that? See that? If we only read Hebrews, we would be thinking, oh, Abram was the most perfect man. No, he was a pagan man. In a pagan land. Do you see that? He was a pagan man. He worshiped false gods. And then God came to him and gave him God's plan for his life. And he said, okay, I believe that. God didn't tell him, clean up, get you a three-piece suit and act like me. And then you'll be all right. He said, Abram, this is what I want to do for you. And Abram says, I'm going to let you do that. God says, I'll perform this in your life. Why? Because it was faith. Mary, Jesus was born, our Redeemer was born into this life. Mary, the angel of the Lord, came into her and said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Thou hast found favor with God. For you're going to have a child, and his name's going to be Jesus. And he described unto her, she said, how is this going to be? I don't know a man. She wasn't speaking in doubt. She needed information. How's this going to happen? And he said, the Holy Ghost is going to overshadow you. And that which is going to be conceived in your womb is going to be born of God. What'd she say? According to what you're saying, bring it on. I am totally submitted unto you. It's never been done before. I've never seen it happen before. I totally don't understand anything about this, but I believe what you say, and instead of me going by what I see and what I feel, I'm going by what you said, and if you want a child in my womb, bring him on, glory to God. And verse 45 of that same chapter, it says, there shall be a performance of those things told you because you have believed. God was able to move in her life because she believed what God said. Hallelujah. What about Zacharias right before that? Zacharias and Elizabeth. Hey, let's go read it. I want to read you one verse out of there about him. Go to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 and verse 6. Luke 1 and verse 6. Zacharias and Elizabeth. And it says, and they were both what? Righteous before God. Now you can be righteous within your own eyes, and then you be righteous before God. What does righteous before God mean? He said they did everything right. They did everything right. Y'all doing okay? Say it out loud. Pastor Brian, you, the Word, and the Holy Ghost really got me stirred up today. Amen, amen, amen. That's okay, isn't it? Isn't that awesome? Just think of the peace you're feeling in your heart right now. The anointing that's on this, glory to God. In verse 6, and they. That's both of them. They were both righteous before God. They walked in all the commandments and all the ordinance of God, and they were blameless before God. Everybody say it out loud, that Zacharias and Elizabeth, they did the right things. All right, now watch this. The angel came to him and said, you're going to have a son. His name's going to be John. He asked the same question. He said, how in the world is this going to happen? But he asked the question in doubt and fear and unbelief. And the angel told him, he says, you're going to be struck dumb because you don't believe. So here we have, we have Job. He did everything right, but he didn't have faith. We found Abram. He did just about basically everything wrong, but he had faith. We have Mary, that when God came, he says, you found favor with God. She was doing things right, but she had faith. Now we got Zacharias. He was a priest in the temple. And he did everything right according to the commandments and the law of Moses as a priest, but he didn't have faith. Come on, somebody. Word Alive Church, saints of God, we must have it penetrated in our heart and in our mind that it's not about what we do, it's about what we believe. Tomorrow you'll probably do something wrong. I'm not prophesying your doom or gloom, but you'll probably do something wrong. You can't let that affect your faith. You'll have to allow your faith to cause you to be the greatest product of your faith. A supernatural being of God. Amen. Hey, let's go over to Mark chapter 10. We got time for one more. Is that okay? Mark chapter 10. You ever read this verse over here about the rich young ruler? Mark chapter. Are y'all having fun this morning? I tell you what, I'm having time in my life. Mark chapter 10, and we'll start reading in verse 17. Mark chapter 10 and verse 17. It says, when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Now I want you to underline that. What may I do, or what might I do so that I can inherit eternal life? Think about the phrase of that. What is it that I can do to inherit the inheritance of Coy and Elsie Culbreth? I really can't do anything except be a Culbreth. But in his mindset, this rich young ruler, he said, now what do I need to do to accomplish this? What action do I need to take so that I can get in line, I can be in line for this? He says, And when he was gone forth away, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, first of all, why callest thou me good? There is only one good, and that is God. He said, you know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Don't kill. Don't steal. Don't bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. Jesus quoted to him 6 out of the 10 commandments. And he answered and said unto him, he said, now, master, all these I have observed, and all these I have kept all the way from when I was a young boy. I've done these things. He said all of them he had kept, all of them he had done. But now he's asking Jesus, he said, now, what do I do to get eternal life? Now, of course, we know these writings here. This young man was under the inspiration and the timing of the law of Moses. But how did he become rich? He became rich by keeping the law of Moses. So now he says, how do I have eternal life? Jesus said, you know the commandments. Yes, I've kept them from a young boy. I've done that. Now let's read on. Then Jesus, beholding him and loved him, spoke unto him, or said unto him, one thing you lack. One thing you lack. Now, a lot of times people read this and they think Jesus said, go sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and that's what you lack. No, the one thing that he lacked, he had done everything right in all of his life. He did. He kept the law. He kept the commandments, just like Zacharias and Elizabeth, just like the others in the Old Testament. But Jesus said, one thing you lack. And what was that? That one thing that he lacked was faith. He said, one thing you lack. And what was it? It's faith. It's easy to see faith. He said, go and sell. Go and sell whatever you have, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come and take up your cross and follow me. And the scripture says, and he was sad at that saying, and he went away grieved, for he had what? He had great possessions. Now I know that he had possessions, and he was sad about that. He left Jesus sad. Why? Because he had no faith in what God had fulfilled in and through Jesus Christ. What about the lady with issue of blood? How did she become sick? Somebody says, well, I don't know. I wasn't there, man. This is easy. It's easy to understand. Here's the rich young ruler. He got rich because he kept all the statutes of the commandments of Moses. That's one of the blessings of the law. But also one of the curses of the law was sickness. Poverty, sickness, and spiritual death was the curse of the law. So here's this lady. She runs up to Jesus. She hears that Jesus is in town, and she has an issue of blood. How did she get an issue of blood? It was part of the curse. And the law of Moses, if the blood of a lamb was shed in faith of Jesus Christ, then there wouldn't be sickness in that person's life. Can I get a witness in the house? Even under that old covenant. But she ran up to Jesus sick. How did she get sick? By the curse of the law. But she said within herself and said it out loud, if I touch but the hem of the garment of Jesus Christ, I shall be made whole. So she stepped beyond, like the rich young ruler couldn't. She stepped beyond the law and put her faith in Jesus. And at that moment, that issue of blood dried up. And Jesus said, who touched me? Then when he saw who touched him, he said, daughter, some of you on the edge of your seat right now, daughter, see, here's one thing he didn't say, daughter, the power of God has healed you. See, he didn't say that, did he? No, he said, daughter, your faith hath made you whole. Hallelujah. Here's a woman under the law, under the curse of the law. She had sickness in her body, but she had faith in Jesus Christ. And when she extended her faith, the servant of the believer, to go and receive everything Jesus had for her, it was the easiest thing that she'd ever done to receive her healing, even under the old law. She was an outcast. She was in quarantine. Nobody could get around her. Under the law, she was going to be stoned real soon because she was unclean. She come out of that quarantine by faith in Jesus, and she ran and said, as soon as I touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. She had done things wrong. She hadn't kept the law. The curse of the law was on her, but her faith overruled the curse of the law. And she got to Jesus, and Jesus said, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. He didn't say anything about it. You didn't keep the commandments. You didn't keep the law. You didn't keep this. He said, no, that superseded and overcame the law when you put your faith in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Don't you feel God in this room? See, this is not a church creed. It's not a doctrine. It's God talking to us. Amen. So let's close with this scripture. I got about 300 more years to go, but let's get this, and then we'll try to go home. Amen. Everybody say, we'll try to go home. Let's go to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. My. I was talking to this lady one time, and she had questions about a marriage covenant. She had been married 37 years. And as I was talking to her and explaining to her about the law of marriage, divorce, and remarriage, and how that there's forgiveness with that. I mean, there's certain people think that the law of divorce is the unpardonable sin. That's right. That's right. People think that. And they teach it. And they've told that. And many people in the earth today are walking around in the earth condemned and frustrated. Now, me saying that doesn't mean that if you're married, been married, you know, 50 years or 60 years or 40 years. It doesn't mean that you're out of the will of God. No, that's the perfect will of God. Amen. It's to be the witness of the covenant of God in the earth. But if something happens and mistakes are made and covenants are broken, that doesn't mean it's the end. So as I was explaining this to this good woman, she's a good woman. She does good things. She's active in the city and in the church and cuts out coupons and for the family. She cuts out paper dolls for the toddler class and does great things. But listen, y'all, I'm going to tell you, just like she told me, she looked at me right square in the eye and she said, "I've been married to my husband 37 years and you telling me that don't mean nothing? That don't count for nothing?" I said, "No, ma'am. Let me explain." I said, "If you're trying to get brownie points with God, that don't count." I said, "You put up with that rascal for 37 years for nothing. Amen." She was like, "Y'all, I'm not making fun. I'm serious here. Amen. Do you see the mentality? Do you see the mentality that we have in the earth?" She said, "You mean I've been married to him 37 years and it don't count for nothing?" I said, "What are you saying? Would you left him in second year?" Seriously, we had that type of relationship. I told her, I said, "So would you have been gone the second year except you thought you had to get brownie points with God?" I mean, that really made her mad. I said, "Look, your marriage has to be the grace of God received by faith in Jesus Christ. Or no, ma'am, it does not count." We try to put everybody else in that. We try to keep ourselves in that. In what? Got to do it right. If you don't do it right, God won't like you. I'm telling you, you didn't get it right. You put your faith in Jesus Christ. That's what counts. You remember now when God made covenant with Abram. He said, "Now, Abram, I'm going to make covenant with you." And guess what? He made him pass out. Y'all remember that? Why did he make Abram pass out? Somebody says the glory of God was so good. Now, listen, the glory is always good. But Abram was so bad, God put him asleep. He said, "Abram, take a nap, buddy." And then Jesus, the smoking furnace and burning lamp, and Father God in the blood made covenant with the sleeping one. Why did he put him to sleep? Because Abram would have got up. He'd have made a mess, man. He would have made a mess, y'all. Then that's why God declared. He said, "Now this covenant, Abram, is between you and I, and I'm the one that's responsible. I'm the one that's going to fulfill this. I'm the one that's going to keep the charge of this. I'm the one that's going to be the glory and the lifter of your head. I'm going to be the enemy to your enemy. I'm going to be your protector. I'm going to be your shield. I'm going to be the one. I'm going to be the one that gets all the glory. I'm the one that's going to get all the honor. I'm going to be the God. You're going to be the man." Hallelujah. My Lord, I tell you, that should lift a ton of brick off your spirit. That should lift you up. Hallelujah. And bring glory and honor unto your life. Hallelujah. Romans 4 and 1. Remember, I'm closing on this one. Don't forget now. You got to come back tonight, because if you leave here this morning, I've had a dozen people over the past. "Pastor Brian, you telling people they need to do anything they won't do." Guess what? You don't have to tell people that. I found out in 30 years a few things. Amen. You don't have to tell people where they can or not do something. They're going to do exactly what they want to. God or no God, people going to do what they want to do. No, we're not giving an excuse and telling people they can go and act and do like they want to. No, I've never, never, never. Triple negative. I've never, never, never seen or been affiliated with a true man or woman of faith and power that lived a double life. I've never seen it. Because having the spirit of faith will humble you. When people tell me that God broke their arm and their leg and took their eye and took their wife and took their firstborn kid and took their car and their transmission, see what it is, they tell us they really don't know Him. God doesn't have to take your transmission to get your attention. What He'll do is He'll come to you and you're in such an undeserving manner, He'll bless you anyway. And the way He blesses you is by the law of faith and His grace. Then when you get what you do not deserve, your heart will melt before God. You will find your hard heart begin to be tender, and you'll cry before Him. You've been told not to cry, and you can't help but to cry. Amen. You'll find yourself in lack, but then God has mercy on you, and by faith you receive forgiveness and cleansing and goods and healing and deliverance. And the next thing you know, you'll not be ashamed to lift your hands before God and say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God. I didn't have, but now I have. You had mercy on me." Amen. It's not giving somebody a law or legalism to go and do something wrong. No, faith will get you, man. Faith will get you, hon. Faith will bring humility unto your life. What shall we say then? That Abraham, the father of our faith, pertaining to the flesh, what is it that he's found? What did he find out? What did he discover? He found out that all those mistakes he made, God didn't count them because he had faith that superseded and overruled and outdid and outlasted everything he did or he didn't do. That's what he's found. He says, "For if Abraham were justified by what he did, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh or do things, the reward is not reckoned of grace, but it's now of a debt. But to him that works not, but believes on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." So that's what the pagan man Abram found out. He found out that when the word of God comes, you believe what the word says, you believe that in your heart, and whatever you make mistakes in, God's not going to be mad at you. God's not going to kick you out of the covenant. He's going to cover you. Amen. He's going to bless you. He's going to rule over you. Can you say amen? Then we found out that circumcision came in. It says, "And how was it then reckoned," verse 10, "when he was in circumcision or uncircumcision?" Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. Let's get that straight. No, it wasn't in circumcision or the keeping of the law to have circumcision. Circumcision was a sign of the faith that Abraham had in God. And that sign in the flesh was a token or a signet saying that faith is overruling my natural man. Hallelujah. I tell you what, this will make a bunch of folk take off running in church, won't it? Aren't you glad? Now let's read on, verse 13. "For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, the law of Moses, or works manifested of the flesh, but through the righteousness which is of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, then faith is made void, and the promise is made of none effect." The promise, the blessings, and the honor of God only comes through a firm persuasion and believing in what He says. "Because the law works wrath, for where no law is, there's no transgression." Verse 16. "Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be" what? "Sure." It is of faith so that the promise might be sure unto all. God, through faith, has been fair unto all mankind. Can you say amen? Hispanic can use faith and receive the bountiful blessings of God. An African American can use his faith and receive the bountiful blessings of Almighty God. Caucasian can use his faith and receive the bountiful blessings. A man that's serving life sentence in the penitentiary that puts his faith and trust in God can be born into the kingdom of God. J. Harold Smith, I've asked some of you if you ever heard of him, but you've heard of him in times past on the radio and whatever. J. Harold Smith, Baptist evangelist, talking about leading a young teenager to Jesus Christ that had killed his own parents. Come on, that's gross, that's sick, it's ungodly, it's unnatural. It's someone say, that's the most inhumane thing I've ever heard in all my life. But see, he was under the influence of something else. But the gospel of Jesus Christ, when a young man that had killed his own parents heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, in his heart he believed that message. He believed what Jesus Christ did for him. He needed to have heard it years before. Can I get a witness? But when he heard that, it broke his internal being, his spirit man, and he received the life of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So God doesn't kick us out because we've made mistakes or done evil or done good. He blesses us if we'll have faith in him. You know, I don't think I could say anything else this morning that would get the point of the Holy Ghost across today. Amen.